acknowledge you because we need your help. Without you, we can do nothing. We can't be a blessing to the saints or anybody, Lord God, unless you speak through us and help us and anoint us. We pray, God, that you will take these thoughts that we have today and edify your church, or build your people, encourage the pastor, Lord. Just have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We want to encourage you today, saints, to hold fast. To hold fast. You'll find that many times when God first saved us, how it seems that we can trust him for every little thing. Our little simple faith just reaches out and we can believe God, it seems, for anything. But it's amazing that after we put some years behind us, a lot of times it seems that it's more difficult to believe God. And it seems a lot of times, saints of God, that we want to question, will God really do it? But if you can remember, there was a confidence that you had. Because first of all, the miracle of salvation, it amazed you so that you felt like if God can change me, he can do anything. And you'll find new converts many times, they'll get up in their excitement and begin to tell the church, you know, I prayed about something and it happened. It becomes a thrill. But saints of God, the Bible tells us that we got to hold that. In Philippians chapter 1, I believe it is verse number 6, just read that one verse.
Being confident of this very thing.
Being confident of this very thing.
That he which hath begun a good work in you will
perform
it. Saints
of God, he started the work in us. And he will finish the work.
Until the day of Jesus Christ.
And he will finish the work. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. You pray for us. And God will help us. I was looking through my folder that I keep my notes in, and I normally share it with people where I go, and I learned to carry my own. Amen. Brother Gover, it's nice to have one of these. It's nice to keep one now, I'm telling you, because sometimes you'll find that when you're preaching, you need to. So this goes with me everywhere I go. If you don't say amen, I got my own. Amen. But we find here in Hebrews chapter 3, begin reading at verse number 7, please.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith.
Today, if you will hear his voice.
Today, if you will hear his voice.
Harden not your hearts.
Let me say this to those that are unsaved. Those that were invited out. You're here because of an invitation. Let me tell you something. God has something for you. God has something for you. Don't close your heart up to what God is saying to you. If you're unsaved, he wants to show you a better life. Amen. Salvation, you don't have to be afraid of it. Many times the devil tell people that we're strange looking folks. And I don't know if I can live like that. Guess what? We can't either. The night I got saved, brother, let me tell you something. That was the first thing and first fear that came to me. How in the world am I going to be stay saved? I had never been saved before. I went to Pastor Gordon, and I remember telling him. I said, Pastor, I said, look, I said, I got a lot of things going on in this world I've been in. You know, I mean, I got folks after me, and I'm after them, and all kind of stuff. What am I supposed to do? And guess what the pastor told me? He said, son, if you just take it one day at a time, And saints of God, when the pastor told me that, I took him at his word. And brother, I have been saved thus far only one day at a time. And what happened is that days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. And I have found that, saints of God, don't try to stay saved all of 2016. Stay saved today. Don't worry about what came in the mail last week. Those are the things many times that stops our joy and our praise, and saints have us restless and all that, because we're worried about the future. All we need to do is what Jesus said: Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Give me what I need to stay safe today. May God help us. Read.
Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart.
Don't harden your heart. If God is talking to you, don't harden your heart to what God is saying. Read.
In the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Come on.
When your fathers tempted me.
Yes.
Proved me and saw my works 40 years.
Come on.
Wherefore I was grieved with that generation.
Listen, I was reading this morning. If God was grieved with that generation, I wonder how he looks at us. Saints, God's heart can be grieved. And he said he was grieved with that generation. People, we're living in a generation. We're living in a time. We're in the seventh seal. This is our age. This is our time. Are we pleasing God or grieving him? Come on. You read the Bible. I'm sure your pastor preaches. There's nothing new coming to you. But listen, saints of God, brother, don't you know the Bible tells us what the times are going to be like? Because the Bible says the times are going to be perilous in a certain way. You don't have to be like the time. That should put a greater fight in you. Lord, don't let me be affected by these things. Come on. The Bible said Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Brother, listen. God wants us to have fullness of joy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have confidence. Go ahead and read.
Wherefore I was grieved with that generation.
Yes.
And said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways.
Come on.
So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
You know
rest.
What? Brother, years ago I read that scripture. You know how God said, I swear in my wrath. I swear in my wrath. There's another scripture where he told Abraham, when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, that guess what, Abraham? You're going to make it. And sometimes, you know, I get to thinking on that thought, Lord, I just want to live where you are. Calvin, I swear you're going to make it. Come on. Brother, isn't that something when God tell you that you're going to make it? And listen at this, saints. In spite of what happened in Abraham's life, every promise that God gave him, he said, I can fulfill it. I can fulfill it. Not only that, he tested the man, tested his love. Brother, asked him to sacrifice his son, his only son, and all of that. But the Hebrew letter tells us that Abraham did all of this in confidence. He said, because he knew that the same God that gave him his son was able to raise him up. That's confidence. Our thought today is, how is your confidence today? How is your confidence today? If we're not careful, saints of God, you're not as confident as you were years ago, because you have allowed too many things to clog your faith. Too many things clog your faith. You'll find that, brother, people that believed God and trusted God and depended on him and knew that he would come through. Brother, if you're not careful, saints of God, an evil heart of unbelief, the Bible calls it, will enter in, and you just can't believe that God will do it. You know, there are some people affected even accepting Christ because the devil tell them, oh, you just can't live like that. All these years you've been smoking, you can't stop. Come on. Let me tell you something. Brother, Jesus' blood is so strong. His blood is so strong that one drop makes you whole. Come on. I kind of, you know, I like reading, and I kind of heard a story or saw something once where it was at Calvary when the soldier were piercing Jesus. If you notice in the scripture, there's one, and I don't know if they were portraying it in some movie or something I read, but what it was this. They were showing that when Jesus was being pierced and the blood come out, it was showing it as if some splashed on this soldier. And if you notice, one soldier said, surely he was the Son of God. In other words, brother, that blood is so potent that saints of God, all you got to do, we encourage you to come to the fountain. Come to the fountain. And brother, what's so amazing about it is that, brother, if you repent of your sins and let God know that, look, I want to try this life. And a lot of times you use terms like that because you don't know any better. But let me tell you something. If you come to Jesus, he'll give you power to live this life.
Amen. Thank God.
And most of us that are saved know the exciting part is this. Brother, even after you get saved, you don't understand everything about the Bible and all that. But there are some amazing things that happen. You'll find yourself getting back in some of the same predicaments where you would react a certain way. Brother, listen, it's not even in you to act like that no more. I say it's not in you to act like that. Because why? Brother, you've been made partakers of God's divine nature. And brother, now you act like a saint of God.
Amen.
Since you've been saved, have you ever got by yourself and brother almost slapped yourself in the head? Man, I am different. You know, you already knew you were saved, but when that situation came and the way you come through, it was like, man, I'm saved for real. And here's the thing, saints of God, you realize it's not you, but it's Christ that lives in me. It's Christ that lives in me. Friend, let me tell you something. It's not hard to live saved. That's why the devil don't want you to get saved. He'll tell you with all the bad habits you got, brother, it's just impossible for you to live like that. But let me tell you something. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And everybody in sin is heavy laden. The devil's working you to death. How many times you said, I'm going to do it this time and I'm not going to do it anymore? All of us know that experience. We get in a crisis and we promise God, Lord, if you just bring me out, God, this time, and if there's somebody sitting here and you've been in and out of jail, brother, every time you go to jail, you make a promise to God, I'm going to be better next time. And before you know anything, you back in and out, in and out. What God does many times, people get real spiritual when they get locked up. You know, I do jail services. And everybody, you walk in the door, everybody want a preacher, you got a Bible? And when I preach to them, I tell them, I say, isn't it amazing that you get so spiritual when you get locked up? I say, let me tell you what happens. God allows you to get arrested because this is the only way that he can get your attention. I said, think about it. You didn't get locked up for what you really did. Because a lot of them scratching their head, preacher, I don't know why they put me here. I said, God put you here so I can come and preach to you. You wouldn't listen. You're not coming to church if I invite you. If I pass your track, you'll probably take it and throw it away. But God locks you up and arrests you. I said, you are not here because of the devil. God got you here. And guess what, dear ones? Those are here today. You're here because God have you here. And he wants you to hear something. You might have come in here one way, but you don't have to leave the way you came. You can leave a different person. Saints can leave different. Sinners can leave different. It's so amazing to me. And brother, I mean, even you might say, well, you're a pastor, brother, but it still thrills me how the gospel can go forth. It can save the sinner and encourage the saint to stay saved. One message. Amen. So if you're here and you're not saved, God wants you to get saved. He wants you to get saved. And let me tell you something. The thrill of your life would be this. Everybody that ever got saved, the only regret that you have is that I didn't do it when he first talked to me. You mean I've been missing this all this time? Why? The thrill is on the inside. You can lay down and go to sleep and sleep in peace. Can you remember, saints, the nights that you was afraid to go to sleep? I can remember praying every night, God, please don't come tonight. Isn't that miserable? Didn't repent of my sins, but Jesus, don't come because I'm not ready. But brother, God can take that same individual, come into your life, change you, free you from your sin, and make you a new creature. Somebody might be sitting here with the thought, well, look, preacher, I'm not that bad. You know what? That's wonderful. Because anything that God saved, he make you better. Come on. You might say, well, I'm a good husband. Get saved, you're going to be a better husband. You might say, well, you know, I'm not saved and I don't cheat on my wife and I don't do this. Guess what? Get saved and you're going to be a better man. Amen. Read, dear.
Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
Now it's talking to us. Take heed, brethren, lest there be an evil heart. Listen, saints of God, a lot of times people sit around the church looking for an honorable way to leave. Oh, yes. If you've been saved any little time, you've seen it. People sit around the church looking for an honorable way to leave God. There is no honorable way to walk away from Jesus. And what happens a lot of times, if you find them in the street and you talk with them, and you'll say, well, why did you leave the church? Brother, they have an excuse. And they want to blame the pastor or somebody. Right. Nobody showed me love. Or they didn't shake my hand. When I was sitting in church, I felt like an outcast. Come on. My question is this. When they tell me all that, the last question that I want to ask, what did Jesus do? Now, you told me what everybody else did. What did Jesus do to you? Why did you leave him? Your source, your life, your everything. Why did you walk away from Christ? Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Read.
But exhort one another daily.
Saints of God, we ought to exhort one another while it's called today.
Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of
sin. Listen, sin will deceive you, saints of God. It will deceive you. If you're not careful, brother, you'll find yourself just floating along. Brother, look, this is not a salvation that you're going to float into heaven. Tests and trials are part of our life. This is the life of a saint through great tribulation. Brother, in persecution, we're going to enter God's kingdom. Brother, expect a fight. I think we have a soldier right now that's going to court because he's out on the battlefield and he disappears. Matter of fact, I think he was a commanding officer. All of a sudden, he pops up somewhere, and brother, he's all clean. He had a story, and his story wasn't true. And those soldiers that was around him said, he left us. He's not a hero. Because I guess they tried to rescue him, and they thought maybe he was a POW or something, but they said, no, he ran away. And he left us. Brother, you don't get any medals for forsaking God. Listen, saints of God, the Bible speaks about the wedding. How there was a guest there, and the host walked up to him, and noticed he didn't have on a wedding garment. He asked him, how is it that you got in here and you don't have a wedding garment? The Bible says he was what? Speechless. You know what that tells me? There's nobody going to heaven that won't have a story. Come on. If God would allow you to go to heaven the way you're living, won't nothing be there in Revelation that maketh a lie? That's what the scriptures say. If God would let you go to heaven the way you are, you will make heaven a lie. Because he said, people that live like you don't go to heaven. But I'm in the church, but the way you live, there won't be anything in heaven that's going to make it a lie. And a lot of times we need to judge ourselves. Lord, the way I am, the way I live, my dedication, my consecration, will you let me in heaven like this? The way I support the services, the way I support my pastor and the ministry. Lord, can I fit in heaven like this? You judge it. You judge it. You know what's so serious about the gospel, saints? Though I know none of your lives, isn't it something how the Holy Spirit know you? I preach the word, but you judge yourself. That's why you hear people saying, I don't see why God will send anybody to hell. He don't. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Brother, God never sent anybody to hell. We make our own choices. And you know what? Where my fear comes in when it comes to the saints of God? Why sit around the church and play around and be lost? Why not respond? And listen at this, saints of God. It's not the fact that, you know, you're trying to get people to come to the altar. Listen, are you in your seats changing? If you never come to the altar, are you making up in your mind while you're sitting there, Lord, I'm going to measure to that. I'm going to change. Wasted years. Coming to church. Some people might not even miss, but you're not faithful to God. You're faithful to the pastor. You're faithful to come into the building, but what do you give when you come? Do you come? Listen, do you know that the church of God, we don't have spectators? You know, people that come, man, I'm going to come and see what's going to happen today. You ought to come and make it happen. Amen. Brother, God ought to bless you so on the job, at home, or wherever you're having your devotion. Brother, your soul ought to be so stirred from his blessings and his presence that when you come to church, I want to bless the saints. Amen. I want to be a blessing. Amen. We know it's so. Did you hear Brother Kenny? He said he's been changed during the revival because he listened to the testimony of the tweets. Say it was something that they said that revolutionized him. That's what you want when you come to service. You want to leave different.
Amen.
Brother, listen. I don't come to church thinking, oh, I'm the pastor. No, no, no. Brother, I'm listening to the saints' testimonies. A lot of times they say things that change me. Nobody, I hope, sitting here feel like you have arrived. Amen. When you get to that place to feel like I'm there, you're in a bad state. You ought to always have room for growth. Listen, we're not trying to be like the morning time or the sixth seal. We're trying to be like Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're trying to be like Jesus. Until we come to the stature and the fullness of Christ, let's keep pressing. Read.
But we are made partakers of Christ.
We are made partakers of Christ.
If we hold the beginning.
Listen, if we hold the beginning
of
our confidence
steadfast unto the end.
Listen, do you hear that, saints? The Bible said that there are going to be half of the church that's going to be wise and half is going to be foolish. The foolish are going to say, I'll measure up later. You know, I know I'm not there, you know, and I'm sure, Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. You're talking to them, well, why don't you, you know, make a move for God? I will, later. And then you have those, brother, that have their cups turned up, saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? As long as I've been saved, I can't ever think of a time that I sat in service wondering what the preacher was going to preach so he can get my wife. Have you ever seen husband and wife sitting in service, the pastor preaching on the home, and he's talking to the wife and the husband, yes, go ahead, pastor. Preach it, brother. And then when he switched to the husband, she said, yes, go ahead. They sit in church battling, fighting, throwing off on one another. No, 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 no. Brother, when I'm sitting in service, I'm saying, Lord, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? A lot of times I go places, brother, and you know, just pastoral courtesy. You know, people say, well, brother, do you have a message? No, no. I preach all the time. I want to sit down and get preached to. I need some help. I want to see if I'm short. I'm so glad, saints of God, for the preaching of the word to let me see myself before I get to the judgment. I'm so glad for the preaching of the word to know that I'm not there. I can get there. The word doesn't come to destroy your confidence, but it comes to build it up.
Amen.
And you build it up, saints, by measuring to the word. Come on. That's why it's important to be in every service.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said? It's important to be in every service.
Amen.
I'm a plumber by trade, a journeyman plumber. And brother, listen, I worked on some high dollar jobs that paid real good money. And brother, if you worked on that Sunday, it was triple time. And brother, listen, bro, everybody was striving to work on that Sunday. Guess what? During that Sunday, it might have been revival or fellowship meeting. Brother, look, I want to let my boss know, look, I don't think I'll be here. I don't think I'll be here. Somebody said, well, why did you say that? Listen, saints, and this is honest God truth. That triple time would not have done for me what that service did.
Amen.
I could have used the money. But listen, brother, it's where you put your values. Listen, everything in my life is surrounded by God. He is in the center of every choice in my life. He is more important than anything and everything that I possess. God is first. So listen, saints. God is my source. Come on. To some people, you know, he's just, you know, this is their, you know, resource. And but listen, God is my source. He's the center of my life. Without him, there is nothing. All that I possess is because of him. He's first. He's first in my worship. Come on. Listen, I don't come to church because I'm a pastor. I don't come to church because it's my time. I come to church because I'm worship. This is why I come to worship God and fellowship with his people. When I come to church, I'm not coming with agenda. I know what I'm going to do tonight. No. I come, Lord, let your spirit have its way. This is your church, your people. Listen, saints, how many times have you ever come to church, brother, and the saint had the message? And guess what? And a pastor have to be keen and discerning enough to know that, brother, maybe a saint will give. Look, I've been in Sunday school, and brother, the Sunday school got so fired up, and brother, that somebody was giving certain points, that it was like, we almost need to have altar call in Sunday school. The regular service haven't even started. That's why I say, saints, Sunday school is where it begins. Some people have, look, I've seen people like this here. They have the service so down packed that they know, well, Brother Goble's going to get here, get in the pulpit about this time, and then the altar calls. But you know, here's what I like. When the Holy Ghost have one of those services, well, a saint get up and testify, God move, and the pastor walks up and says, saints, I believe God has moved already. Let us stand. By the time that late person get there, and everybody's shaking hands, they say, what are you all doing? Say, God is coming on. You should have been here. But what happened? Man, listen, God, he really moved. Sister so-and-so testified, and God just took over and challenged the saints. And Brother Goble said, let us stand. We had altar call. And brother, we've been blessed. But what are we doing next? We going home to have dinner now, thank God. Amen. Brother, you don't know what to expect when you come in God's house. Amen. That's how it ought to be. You ought to come with that type of attitude. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Let God, listen, it's God's church. Amen. Saints, there's no pastors smart enough to know how to operate this. I said no pastor anywhere that's smart enough to direct the church. That's why, like God did Gideon, great leader, great man. What did God tell him? The people you have are too many. Come on. Sometimes people, you want to see your congregation just fill all the pews. But guess what? While you're looking for God to fill the pews, God might say, well, the people you already have are too many. You got too much dead weight. That's hindering your worship. I'm telling you about God. While we as pastors, we want to see more people get saved. God said, if you get rid of some of the hindrances, maybe more people will come in. Those folks, those neighbors that's not living right. What you mean, those neighbors? Brother, if you would go and ask your neighbor about your member and say, do you know the people next door? Oh, they fuss all the time? The ones that I can hear through the door hollering at each other? The wife is out in the front yard? Yeah, you know, and the neighbor's ready to call the police because they think a fight is about to start. Come on. I never told you about my experience. Brother got on the phone to talk to what was supposed to be some saints. Ring, ring. Hey, yo. That's the baby. I hear something in the background. Hey, I'd like to speak to your dad or your mother. They fighting. I didn't think I heard that right. I want to speak to your dad or your mama. I'm hearing commotion in the background. They fighting. I got the phone, Marie. I just called so-and-so's their house, and a child answered the phone and said they were fighting. Let me call again. Ring, ring. Can I speak to your mother, dear? They still fighting. I'm gonna show you how God exposed folks. Now, they will be the main ones that come and sit in the most conspicuous spot. And when the devotional leader says, we're going to sing 200 in the evening light, I'm raining, sweetly raining, stand on every verse. Come on. I am reigning all the time, you hypocrite. The way you all were talking to each other, and you don't know that you was exposed, and now you coming in with that Ananias and Sapphira spirit, acting like you are so lovey-dovey, and brother, at home, you're like cats and dogs. You're wondering why that child come to church and is always nervous. And the saints and the pastors trying to wonder, you know, something is wrong with your child. Oh, they just act like this when they get around a crowd. Guess what? Brother, the mama and dad then shot their nerves from screaming and hollering.
That's right. That's what happened.
And affected that child.
Yes. True.
As soon as that child get big enough where it can, you know, talk and explain to the pastor, why don't you come to the Lord? Why don't you tell my parents to come to the Lord? Yeah. Oh, honey, why did you say that? They've been fighting all my life. Mm. I've never seen a day they didn't argue and fight. Mm. But he's a deacon in the church. Mm. That's what you say. Oh. Oh. Your children know if you're really saved.
That's right, amen.
And you don't help them about allowing them to do whatever they want to do and then come to church like you really standing. Because one day they might really get convicted and repent of their sins, and guess what they'll do most time? They're going to expose you. Pastor, I think you need to have a meeting with my parents and I. I want to tell them how sad it is for me to have been brought up in my home. I almost missed God because I was looking at them. Do you know I've seen people get saved and they're around my wife and I? And I'm talking about saints' children. They're around my wife and I, and they begin to talk to us and say, you know what? I did not know the saints were happy people until I got around you and Sister Marie, Pastor. Why? You always complain, never happy about nothing. It's like God never supplied your need. You was always begging. Come on. Always borrowing and couldn't pay back. A bad reputation among the saints. Using your children. And they figured, you know, is that what it's really like to be saved? And then they repent of their sins and they get saved. God give them the joy. They come around the other saints and see how happy they are and say, what was wrong with mama and daddy? They always complained. They always made it seem like it was so hard. But it's really not.
Amen.
It's really not. So listen, saints, what kind of message are you sending to those around you?
Amen.
On the job. Are you one of those as soon as something happened, you want to run to the union steward? Come on, we got to go to arbitrate. We got to talk about this. Why not suffer? The Bible says, listen, if you suffer as a Christian, listen, all you're doing is being a light. Because you know what might happen? They might say, man, you know, we have a union steward and brother, look, all the money we pay to you, and they will back you up. You said, no. God will give me grace. Man, what you mean, God? God will give me grace. That guy's watching, and he's trying to see, what do you mean by grace? And he watches the way you act. That when things happen and the boss make you do more than other people, brother, then they see the spirit that you possess. And say, he's a real Christian. He's a real Christian. Years ago, I applied for a job. I was out of work, had young children, applied for a job. They were hiring. And brother, I fill out my application, and I say, well, look, we're going to give you a call. I needed a job bad. And brother, I kept wondering why they wasn't calling me. And so I decided to go to the job. Instead of going to the front office, I went around the back where everybody was working. And I walked up in the shop, you know, and they were training people, you know. They were training all these guys, and I was just standing there, and the person that told me about I'm going to get a job, was doing the training. And when he turned around and saw me, he looked, and I acknowledged him. He said, go stand in the office. I stood in the office. After a while, he come out and he talked with me, and they hired me. My boss met me. And remember, you know, you got some folks, they just funny acting. And when she saw me, it was like she looked me up and down. You know, this is what you hired, but I got the job. Listen, saints, I got that job, and I can remember, brother, sometime the things that she would have me to do. Brother, she might say, well, I need you to do this and that. But guess what I would do? I wouldn't do just what she told me to do. Something about being saved told me, do more than that. Don't just do what she told you. Sweep the floor. Clean the whole place. Make it immaculate. And she would tell me to do things, and I would just do it. She loved cats. And they had cats on the job. Mind you. You know, these are natural affection folks. Didn't want to hire me, but they had cats on the job. But what happened, saints, one of her favorite cats died. And I found the cat. And I remember I told her, I said, I'll take the cat and I'll bury it. You know, I'll take care of this for you. I'm just acting like a saint. Brother, listen. I remember layoff time came. Everybody was in line talking about, you know, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was in line with the fellas. She happened to be standing by the time clock, folks punching out. And I'm talking with them, and we walk up, and she said, Kelvin, why are you in that line? I said, I thought we was getting laid off. Now, I got less time than a lot of these fellas. She said, get out of that line. I stepped out of line. Now, all the fellas looking at me. Why is he so favorite? Why is he so special? Guess what, saints of God? It was just like in the Bible. If you just be obedient and keep your spirit right, God will give you favor. Brother, that woman, brother, she, listen, when I say fell in love, I'm talking about in the sense of the respect that she had for me. Because listen, when other folks would argue about what they had to do, I would just go and work. I left the job and I could send people there on my word. I would tell them, look, go see my boss. Let them know that Calvin McCraney, you know, guys getting out of jail and talking about doing stuff wrong. I would tell them, I say, listen, if I can help you get a job, will you go to work? Yes. Brother, they go and say, look, a guy by the name of Calvin McCraney sent me here. They will hire him on my word. Saints of God, we ought to be the head, not the tail. On our jobs, brother, listen, we ought to be the one that when it's time to get a promotion or a raise, they look at us. Because why? We're on time. I see, that went over somebody's head. Because we go to work on time. Listen at this. There are a lot of people who have never missed a day of work. And brother, they will boast about how many sick days they got and how much vacation time. If God will compare your work time with your service, how would you weigh in the balance? Oh yeah, I've never missed a day since I've been on my job. How many days you miss out of service? But here's the thing. I'm not talking about a drippy nose. Oh, you could, I mean, I even tell the people in my congregation, if you have anything that's going to spread, it'll be best for you to stay home. I tell the saints that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you was walking and stub your toe, and it's not even hurting bad. And you call, Pastor Gordon, I don't think I'm going to make it. I hit my toe on a chair. Come on. I need you all to hold me up in prayer. And you're walking straight and you see one of the saints. Come on. God knows you now. He knows you now. Listen, brother, I don't want my work record to exceed my record with God. It's like being in sin. I guarantee you we got people here that the devil could count on. Brother, you didn't miss any parties. You was faithful. You got off work and it was time for you to go to bed. You got dressed, stayed out all night, and brother had enough time to take a shower and go to work. You know what I did when I got saved? I was faithful in sin. He could always count on me. I told God, I said, Lord, I never wanted to be a time that you look at me and I judge myself and say I was more faithful in sin than I am in the church. Come on. I find excuses not to come to church. I find excuses not to be helpful. I find excuses when they need somebody to volunteer or pass out tracts. I found an excuse not to be involved in that. But here's what bothers me about that. Do you know the Bible says that to whom much is known, much is required? And not only does it say that, but Jesus said in one place, he said, I was in prison and you didn't come and visit me. Here we got a jail ministry and we need some help. Saints, how many people can we get to go? No, you don't have time because you got something else you like to do. You'd rather go shopping than talk to a soul. You'd rather do your hobby than go witness to a soul in the nursing home. Come on, saints of God, it's going to be required of you. Because why? These were saints he was talking to. And when did we see you this way or that way? And he said, as much as you didn't do it for them, that was me you was rejecting. That was me you were rejecting. So saints of God, Lord, help us to be careful. Help us to be careful and realize that in our neglect, you might be neglecting a star in your crown. Amen. Because you know what happened to one man? He came and the owner asked him, said, you know, give me what you got. He said, no, I went and buried it. Why? I was afraid. I knew you was a hard man and I still didn't do nothing. How in the world can you sit in church knowing your own state that if you died, where he is, you won't go? Because why? You're not doing nothing. What have you contributed to your own congregation? What benefit are you? Listen at this. Are you one of those that if you're not around, the saints will miss you? The pastor would miss you. Come on. It's sad, brother. You can be gone for weeks and come back. Hey, Pastor Goble. You know, how are you doing, brother? You didn't miss me? Oh, where have you been? Oh, I've been in Timbuktu for about 3 weeks. Well, brother, you must stay there all the time because, you know, I thought you was visiting. Come on. Unfaithful. Saints of God, all these things will affect your confidence. All these things will affect your confidence. Let's do a little running here, dear. Over in 1 John. Let's just go over there. 1 John chapter 2. Read verse 28, please.
And now, little children.
And now, little children.
Abide in him.
Abide in him.
That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
Listen, if you're not right, you're going to be ashamed. And listen to this, thanks to God. It's nobody's fault but yours. To not do what you ought to do. The sin of omission. Omitting just to do the things that God requires of us. God comes and you're not ready, you're going to be ashamed. As I said, God is not sending anybody to hell. When he asks, what have you done with my life? And you tell him, and you stand there speechless because you've been neglectful. And the scripture said, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation. It's nobody's fault but ours. Go ahead and read.
If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
1 John 3. We're going to try to wind down here. Start at verse 13.
Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Come on.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding.
Now let me ask you. And it happens in every congregation. Brother, you see some people, they're like peas in a pod. Everything they do together. They travel together. And brother, there's something that can come up, and the next thing you know, they're so separated to the saints of wonder. Man, they're not close anymore. If there's a dinner, they're going to be together. But something happens. And listen, saints of God, and what happens a lot of times is that even close brethren separate in the same congregation. You used to sit on the same pew, couldn't get away from each other. Now, brother, you're all over the church to make sure you don't sit by them. Listen at this. Our definition in the church of God of hate is not like the world's. When the Bible tells us we hate our brother, it means you don't love him like you used to. You love him less. Where does that come from? Remember Isaac, I believe it was, the wives of Jacob? The Bible say Leah,
Rachel he loved,
and Leah he hated. All it meant that he didn't love her as much as Rachel.
Right.
When you hate a saint, you don't love them like you used to. And the Bible, when he puts that on the scale, is hating your brother. That's why we ought to forgive. The Bible says there's an ought. And how many people, brother, you've seen disobey this? I've had so many people come to me about something that happened between them and a saint. And the first thing I do is turn them around and say, listen, I understand what you're saying, but you need to go back and talk to him.
Amen.
The scripture didn't tell you to tell me.
Right.
It said go to him and him alone. Why does it say that? Pastor Goble, if we deal with our issue by ourselves, no other ministers have to be affected. But if I go tell Pastor Dukes what happened between us, and then Brother Dukes get on my side because we've been knowing each other a long time, and we get it straight, when you come around, he's still looking at you funny. You and I, look, brother, we hugging and eating and having a good time, but he remember what I said. And when I say, what are you going around here? Oh, brother, we got that straight. No, the way he was looking, I think he still got that spirit. And guess what? Not only does it happen with brethren, brother, it can happen in your home. You run and telling your mother or your father everything about your companion, and the next thing you know, brother, daddy said, I knew he wasn't no good in the first place. Now you're trying to tell him at Thanksgiving dinner, daddy, he's really different. I told you before you married him, and he's still the same. Now he's been blackballed no matter what he does. He can come with the biggest Christmas present you ever seen. Yeah, he's just trying to buy my love. Because why? You done that to him. You done that to him. If you do things the Bible way, it'll always come out right.
Amen.
Lord help us. Read some more of that, dear.
And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed.
Listen,
before him at his
coming.
Here
that word is again, saints of God. We want to live as saints of God with confidence in our God. Read.
If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him.
Come on.
Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Come on.
Beloved, Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Skip down to verse 22. 1 John 3, verse 22.
And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him.
We receive of him.
Because we keep his commandments.
Keep his commandments.
And do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
How are you looking right now just with that verse? Read it again, dear.
And whatsoever we ask,
I can ask God for whatever I want.
We receive of him.
Because I have confidence. And I'm going to receive it because what?
Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight.
Not in Pastor Goble's sight. What are you doing in his sight? Saints of God, that's how God wants us to live. Listen, I tell the people in Memphis, I said, you know what? I said, one thing about this congregation, I said, you don't have to worry about Dick Tracy being your pastor. I said, listen, if you're going to be saved, it's going to be because you love God, not because I'm driving past your house trying to figure out what you're doing, because I'm not going to do it. Brother, you're not serving me, you're serving God. And if you're not pleasing him, he's the one that's going to take care of you.
Amen.
Not me.
That's right.
Read.
And this is his commandment.
Yes.
That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And love one another.
All right, skip
he
over here to 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15.
And this is the confidence that
and
we have.
And this is the confidence. Read.
That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
Yes.
And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him.
Do you live that way that you can ask God for something and he'll do it? Let me tell you, saints, pastors have to trust God also. I said pastors ought to be an example of trusting God. There are times, you know, we don't have a real big congregation, but there are times, brother, that I have my own personal needs. And my wife will tell you this. I'm semi, you know, retired, so to speak. You know, I'll be 62 in March. And brother, I'm expecting the old folks shake. Thank the Lord. I have lived that long. But the thing is, there have been times that I've had personal needs. And saints of God, I work sometimes still, you know, and God, he just designed it for me. Because I said, Lord, I said, I need something that I can still be free and yet be able to take care of my wife and I. So I work through a trade service. We're paid a little more than just the average temp service because we're all tradesmen. But here's what I do. I actually get on my knees and I say, God, I need some money. I mean, you can talk to God like that. When you're by yourself, you can tell him a whole lot of things. God, I need some money. You know, I need a little work right here. And brother, just as sure as you're living,
amen. Thank God.
I leave it with God. Brother, it might be 6:30 in the morning. That service will call me. Hey, Calvin, you ready to go to work? I sure am. Well, look, there's some guys building a Whole Food over here on so-and-so street, and they need a plumber. And I told them we got one. I'll be there. Brother, I get my construction clothes on, and I'm on my way. Thanking the Lord that he supplied my need.
Amen.
One more time. What am I saying? Pastors need to trust the Lord just like you preach to the saints. Come on. Brother, listen. We have needs. And sometimes you don't know how to express what you need. But God will come through. Saints of God, he'll do the same thing that he does for us, for you. I just don't believe that saints have to beg. David proved that. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed doing what? Come on, I don't believe that saints have to do that. I believe that if you live where that confidence is real and that experience is clear, that you can ask God. Our last passage there, turn over here to Hebrews 10, and we're going to close with this, saints. Hebrews 10. Start at verse 31, please.
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
And we need to realize that. Saints of God, we're not serving a statue. We're not serving something that some man has erected. We're serving the living God. Read.
But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated...
How is your confidence today, is our thought. How is your confidence at this very moment? It's asking you to remember your former days or your early salvation. Come on, read.
In which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction.
Can you remember when you stopped wearing certain things and you go around your relatives and folks on the job and they'll say, why are you looking like that? You endured that. You wasn't accustomed to that, but you endured it. Read.
Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock.
You know, you were Miss Minnie. Brother, all the guys lined up waiting for you to come through. And all of a sudden, here you come through looking like you just got off a wagon. And they're looking, what in the world has happened to her? You were made a gazing stock. You know how folks look at you. Man, you don't wear this no more, and you don't do that no more, and where's this and where's that? I don't need that stuff. He beautifies the meek with salvation. Read.
Both by reproaches and afflictions.
Come on, read.
And partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used.
The saints were already used to it. Now you're just a part of them. Read.
For ye had compassion of me in my bonds.
Yes.
And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods.
Come on, read.
Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven
how
a better.
How many people still know? Amen. Why are you hoping? I hope I make it. I hope I'm sanctified. Read that verse again.
Knowing in yourselves.
You knew in yourself.
That ye have.
When you
in
came
heaven,
to church, you came with an assurance because your experience was fresh. You knew. Is it still fresh? Do you still know? Come on.
Knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring
substance.
Listen to
what it says. You knew that you had something in heaven. Because why, you've gotten rid of sin, and now I got something in heaven. Do you still know that? Saints, do you still know that? Have you got this far in your salvation? You're older now, and brother, you don't even have a real assurance. When you think about death, you get nervous now. Years ago, brother, come death. Quick death, quick heaven. But now when you think about death, you get nervous. Come on, read.
Cast not away, therefore, your
confidence.
Don't
cast away your confidence.
Which hath great recompense.
Which hath a great recompense of reward.
For you have need of patience.
Listen, saints, you might have to wait a little while, but you have need of patience.
That after you have done the will of God.
After you have done what God told you to do.
Ye might receive the promise.
Come on.
For yet a little while.
Look, people skip over that part. After you have done, are you doing what you're required to do? If you're not, the word again is repent. Don't be afraid of that word, Church of God. Listen, if it's not right, repent. Ask God to forgive you and help me. Lord, I don't mean to be found here again. Read.
For ye have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
Come on.
For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come.
Listen,
and will not tarry.
It's a fact that if you measure up and please God, brother, he'll bring your joy back. Brother, he'll make your faith like it used to be. But brother, you got to do what he said first. Read.
Now the just shall live by faith.
The just shall live by faith.
But if any man draw back.
Saints of God, you can't get discouraged because it don't look bright and things don't look like they used to look. Brother, you can't get discouraged by that. Come on.
Now the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
Read.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
Can you say amen to that? We'll not look back, saints. When we get in difficult situations, saints of God, listen. The only thing the devil can do is try to make us miserable in our salvation because we don't plan to go back. If he, like Paul said, he can try to hinder you and do things to make you where your joy is not full and all that. But saints of God, if you don't look back, he that shall come will come. And God, listen, he'll come on time. And brother, he'll give you everything that you might have lost. It's possible that we can lose some things. Brother, listen, he told the Ephesus church all the good things that they were doing, but he said, I have someone against you. You're left. Sometime we walk away and leave what we know. You didn't lose it. It's not lost. You know why he didn't say you've lost, but you're left? You can always go back and get it. You can go back to that place and say, God, I'll never forsake it again. I acknowledge that I got under the spirit of lukewarmness and indifference and all that. And saints of God, he told the Ephesus church to remember how you used to love me. Remember how you've fallen. And listen, he is such a loving God till he didn't kick them out. He said, just repent. Saints, when we get right with God, it's repenting. Lord, I'm sorry. Listen, we're not people that do things and then we can't repent. I've had to repent to my children. Did you hear what I said? I've had to repent to my wife. I didn't say it was easy, but brother, in order to keep that confidence, I had to go do it. Maybe the way I said that, the way I did that, you forgive me, because I want to be clear with God. I want to be clear with God. We are not of them that draw back into perdition,
but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul.
Saints, it's been a joy serving you. I've enjoyed preaching. You've been an easy people to preach to. Are you allowing the word to have real effect in your life? Sinner, if you're here and you don't even know what's really going on, but God is dealing with your heart and letting you know that you can be a part of this, you don't shake the preacher's hand. You come to the cross and you repent. You ask God to forgive you for your sins and promise him that you'll walk upright. You don't even have to understand everything to get saved. The thief on the cross, he didn't understand everything. Isn't it amazing that he's up there, brother, rejoicing and jumping around heaven and never got baptized? Come on. Never went to Sunday school. But Jesus told him, this day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Brother, it's the same way with you. All you got to do is come to a place of repentance and let God know that, Lord, I don't understand this thing of salvation. But it sounds good to me, and that's what I want. And make a full surrender. God bless you.